sisters, come on down to that river. Guaranteed you'll never be the same. There's a fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilt and stains. Let that river of life wash it all away. If you're searching,
struggle for me to find really good upbeat songs. You can find a lot of ballads and a lot of slow songs, but so when I found this one, I really wanted to do it, and it's terrified me for 2 or 3 weeks because I really wanted to do it. So it worked out good. God love these guys because it was not an easy song to tackle, but I just love the message of that. It's simple, but that ever-flowing river is always there accessible to us, that river of life. This next song asks us to do two things, to simply come as you are, which is always hard for us to do, because we want to put up a wall. We want to put up a good face and say, we're all okay, we're all good. But he wants us to come as we are, and he wants us to open the eyes of our heart, which means open up your heart to what he has for you today, whatever that is. Whether you need to see somebody here today that needs you, whether it's something that you need from him, just allow him to do that this morning.
Now is
next song it's become one of my favorites. It's called There Was Jesus. You know, there's many times we look back and we think, how did I ever make it out of that? Or there were times when you had questions and you say, where was God then? But we know the truth that he was always there. And sometimes he answers us in weird ways, in unique ways. And sometimes he says no. And so we have to be ready for those things. But he's always there in the middle of our situations, whatever we've done or whatever we've got ourselves in. And he's always there, and he's hoping that you're going to trust him enough to get out of there, right? So that's what this song is about. If you haven't heard it, just feel free to sing along when you get it. This morning. As we prepare our hearts for communion, do you want it all? He gave it all. And he simply asks us to trust him with everything in our lives. Do we want just a piece of it? Do we want to live up here on the surface and just kind of get a little piece of God when it's convenient? Or do we want it all? I think we're coming into a time where Christians are going to have to choose. And some people's faith is going to fall by the wayside because they've only been living on the surface, right? And I hope that's not you. And I'm not going to judge you for that. That's God's job. But I'm trusting that you want more. That's why you come here. That's why you come to things we do. You ask for help. That you want more, right? And we're never going to be perfect until this side of glory, right? So we're going to make mistakes. But in our heart, if we want it all and trust him, he's going to allow us to move forward. So let's sing this out.
Came for you and I. And he hung upon the cross and he took the shame of the world. He was beaten and broken so that you and I could find healing. was poured out so that there could be a sacrifice for yours and my sin. I'm hoping and praying that communion is not just another thing that we do in church. I'm hoping and praying that in this moment you would be filled with awe of a God who loves you that much. Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room, and he knew that very soon he would no longer be with them. He knew that very soon they would scatter. He knew that very soon that he would be broken, and he would carry a cross down a lonely road. And all the while, we were on his mind, right? And so he did something that was really, really incredible, even though they didn't get it. And sometimes we miss its significance too, right? He was with them, and he took the bread. And to comfort them, not even that night, but in days that would be ahead, to remind them of scripture and prophecy fulfilled, he did it. Not that they got it that night, but to remind them in days that would be ahead. That they would do this together, not that they even appreciated it that night, but so that we would remember each other in days that would lie ahead. Don't miss the significance. So he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, each time you eat, remember me. Let's eat together. Thank you. I love the rawness of the garden. When Jesus kind of was laying it all out and saying, if there's another way, if there's another way, let's do that, right? And then those incredible words where he'd say, but it's not my will, it's your will be done. If you've ever studied the Trinity, oh, if you understood what was going on there, then we would understand just how precious mankind is to the Heavenly Father. We'd get a glimpse of the heart of our Savior, how much He loves you. And the truth that He was never going to leave us, like the Holy Spirit would be here, that we would never need to walk alone. And so He did what we couldn't do. And so Jesus took the cup. And He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He surrendered it all for you and me. And He told them, each time you drink it, you remember. Let's drink. I want to pray today. You can remain seated. I want you to agree that you join your heart with mine and that we would just pray for our messed up world, right? Let's do that. Lord, you see what we can't see, and you know what we don't know. And you hold it all in your hands, and you speak peace into our hearts. Lord, that even though there's a mess, we don't need to be a mess. Even though there is carnage, we can still know your calm. Lord, what we shared today is as a family is a reminder that you've already won. You've won. You've already won. And we need to remind ourselves of that in the midst of all of the chaos, that we do not need to fear. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You've already won. I just want to say thank you today for conquering the grave. I want to say thank you today for your love. I want to say thank you today for all of your promises. You are just good. So everything that we would carry today or everything that would maybe draw our attention today, I pray that we would just be a people of surrender and that we would lay it all at your feet. All of our burdens, all of our cares, all of our trials, all of our sorrows, we just lay it all down. Oh, thank you. Prepare our hearts for your truth. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, I'm always excited. It's strange. Sometimes you don't think of this. Of course, if you work in ministry, I hope and pray that you're always being fed, by your studies and by your own realizations and different things like that. But it's so wonderful to have, multiple people who I can lean upon. And it's so nice to have multiple people who I can learn from and sit under their ministry as well. You know, we have a lot of colleagues who are doing things solo and everything's on them and it's pretty heavy and pretty hard. And I hope that they make wise decisions and grab people around them. So we thank God for you guys who we lean on, who we you know, we talk with, we laugh with, and we thank you for all of that. But it's so beautiful for me to be able to sit and under the ministry of Tracy today. I'm really thankful for her. And I you can't say it enough, but I don't know why I'm so emotional today, but it's been good. And I value her. And I value Kirtland. And this week I've needed them, and it's been so good. It's been so good. So receive the blessing today. Would that make sense? Tracy, come.
I feel like we've already had like three sermons this morning, three messages, you know, with the praise and the worship and the prayers. And wow, I'm filled to overflowing, and I'm just so thankful to be here. Sorry. Oh, my goodness, what a week. Okay. People get ready, Jesus is coming, soon we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take to the world his own. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because the world is looking at us and they expect us to be ready. So how about we start getting ready? Where were you on January 28th, 1986? Now, some of you weren't even born, but for the rest of us, where were you? I remember that I was in the student lounge for the pharmacy student lounge at University of Alberta in Edmonton. And I remember it was just any other day. It was a normal Tuesday. I was cutting through the pharmacy lounge, and I had a coffee in one hand and probably a incredibly heavy book bag slung over a shoulder. And across the room, the TV was on, and pharmacists are kind of weird, so it was either tuned to cartoons, I guess we needed a little lightheartedness, or to CNN. Whew, what choices. And as I greeted a classmate and said, hey, you know, what's up, da-da-da-da-da, slowly the room went quiet, and all eyes turned to the TV to watch the replay of the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. Now, perhaps with that, you can remember where you were. It's like 9/11. Where were you when 9/11 happened? We have all of these touch points that we remember. So when you first learned of that explosion, if you're old enough to remember that, then maybe you're also old enough to remember how special that flight was. Because in that crew of seven people, one of them was going to be the first civilian to go into space. That was Krista McAuliffe, a teacher from New Hampshire. And I remember watching it, and the camera was on her family, and I was reduced to tears. What you may not be aware of is that several engineers tried to have the launch stopped. They had concerns over the rubber O-rings that they might not perform because it was so cold on that January morning. They tried to sound the alarm, but they were ignored. People overruled them. Bosses signed instead of the engineer that was supposed to. And seven lives were lost. See, they tried to sound the alarm. And what followed for most of them was no joy in being right. They didn't feel good about it. Instead, most of them spent the rest of their years filled with guilt. Roy Ebeling was one of those engineers, and he quit his job shortly after that. And despite being assured that he had done all that he could, he carried that terrible burden for 30 years until his death in 2016. In a sense, these engineers They felt like they were watchmen for the flight. Watchmen that stood on a wall to alert a village of a threat, of a rival army or a fire or a storm, anything that they needed the people to get ready for. So let's consider God's word about watchmen. I'm going to Ezekiel 33. It's been pretty cool. There's a bunch of us that are joining with Linda every Monday night to study the prophets. Blows my mind. So Ezekiel 33, and I read, "Once again a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and he doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths." Ezekiel the prophet is told that he is to be a watchman for Israel, and that if he fails to sound the alarm about their sin and their wickedness and their horrible living, and the people die, that their blood is on his hands. But if he sounds the alarm and calls them to repent and turn from their wickedness, and then they refuse to take action, well, then their blood is on their own hands. My friends, listen up. Listen up. It is time to sound the alarm. It's time to be a watchman. It's time. But how do we do that? Let me share 4 points. And I will be brief today, because I'm emotional too. It's been quite a week. The first point is that we need to get into the Word. And I know already some are going, oh boy, here we go. Got to read my Bible more. Yes, yes, I know. Because if you don't fill your heart, if you don't fill your mind with the Word of God, the enemy will fill it with fear, anxiety, stress, worry, and temptation. Amen? Been there. Right? Yes, indeed. You see, we need a strong relationship with the Almighty. We need to have His words available to us just like that. They always have to be there. And the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend in the Word, the closer we get to our Father in heaven. That relationship grows stronger. It's like a good marriage where you're finishing each other's sentences because you know the heart of that other person. Oh, that we would know the heart of the Father. God wants to give you confidence to know what His Word says and how to use it to live out these last days. If you neglect spending time in prayer and in His Word, oh, He'll wait, most definitely. But you'll be taking that relationship for granted, and you will not be living as you should. You're offered a close relationship with the Creator. Do you get that? The Creator. He created all of this, and He's worried about a relationship with me and you. That should blow your mind. The Creator wants to know you. His Son died for you. He's given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to guide you. And it's not because He wants control over you. It's because of His love for you. So that's the first point. Get into the Word. Make a commitment today to get into the Word. The second point is, God loves you so much that He reassures you that this world, it's not your home. This world is not our home. We need a hallelujah at that, because I am so thankful that it is not my home. This is not all that there is. This is not where I intend to spend eternity. But not only do we have to embrace that knowledge, that this world is not our home, we have to live like it's not our home. What do I mean by that? Do you remember Lot's wife? Old Testament, Genesis 19. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand in the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and they led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away." But Lot said to them, "My lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it's small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." And the angel said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." By the time Lot and his family reached that town, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? What on earth could have been back there that she needed more than the safety in God's hands? It's because there was something she didn't want to leave behind. And sometimes I can feel like that too. I can feel pulled in different directions. I want to see, you know, my niece and my nephews get married and have kids. I want to see my husband finish that 42 Ford or whatever it is that sits under the tarp. Anyways, that's another story. He's not here right now, so I can say that. Wow, I know. Shh, Jack. So we need to think about that. What are our priorities? How do we spend our free time? What do we read? Is it the Twitter feed? What am I watching? Is it ridiculously funny YouTube videos? That's okay. But is it a bunch of garbage? Probably. What are you buying? And for what purpose? Why are we accumulating things? We need to see everything through God's desire and his will for us. Christians don't wear rose-colored glasses, making everything all sunshine and lollipops. We're to wear blood-covered glasses, and that blood is from our Savior. He gave all for you and for me. So maybe we can give things a second thought from his perspective and live our lives accordingly. Don't hold tightly to this world. It may not be here tomorrow. My third point. We need to stop othering people. Divisiveness has become endemic in our world. We group people either as they're with us or they're against us. When the truth is, the one that's against us is the enemy, Satan. It's not that person. Now, they may be misled, they may misunderstand, but guess what? Sometimes we do that too. We can have differences of opinion. We can have a different perspective. Is that okay? Can we live with that? Can we show one another grace and not make it a do-or-die proposition all the time? Most of it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Can you put aside your arguments and your weapons and see people as simply trying to do their best? What if we gave them the benefit of the doubt? Maybe they'd give us the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it would be okay to change your mind. maybe it would be okay to listen to someone and go, you know what? I think you're right. I think you've got something there. Yeah, that makes sense. Huh, thanks for that. Instead of stomping off and thinking, yeah, they're right, but I'm not telling them. It's just, now I'm not talking about, to be clear, I'm not talking about salvation issues. I'm not talking about who God is and what we are to do as Christ followers. No. The Bible is our standard, and we accept it as truth. Full stop, this is the truth. No relativism, no half-truths. If God said it, then I believe it. In a world where almost anything goes, and every day it gets a little bit closer to almost everything goes, where we can spend more time worrying about, oh, I don't want to offend that person, and oh my goodness, what pronoun should I use, and oh, that's sin, but it's okay. We need to be clear. God has the final say. And the things he say are not okay, they're not okay. The other that you are speaking against or acting against is just another lost soul. They need Jesus, just like I need Jesus, just like you need Jesus. D.T. Niles said that evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're all hungry, and only Jesus can fill us. The only other you need to be worrying about is the one to whom Jesus refers when he commands us to love one another. That's the other. We've been through a difficult couple years. It's time to reach out. It's time to forgive. It's time to let go of those things that don't matter. We need to go back to loving each other, caring for each other, and being okay with differences. And finally, my fourth point, spread the love of Jesus by letting your light shine. Let it shine in your attitude, in your patience, in your generosity, in your interactions so much that no one actually has to ask if you're a Christ follower. They should know it just by knowing you, just by watching you. We are surrounded by people who believe that the world is falling apart. The truth is, the world is simply falling into place. The prophecy in God's word is there for all of us to read and to understand. That final book in the Bible is called Revelation. It's not called Hidden Secrets That Nobody Will Understand. Okay? Is it hard? Yeah, it might be hard. Guess what? It's worth it. Nothing that happens and nothing that is happening right now is a surprise to God. Nothing is catching him off guard. And now, brothers and sisters, we are called to be watchmen. We see the impending threat. We know where this is going. And we know by the gift of God's word that the signs we are seeing are pointing to the rapture. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. We are in the end times, and things are accelerating like birth pains, and it's our responsibility to sound the alarm, to see the signs and respond. On the homepage of one of the prophecy teachers and pastors that I follow, his name is J.D. Farag, F-A-R-A-G, if anybody wants to know it. On the homepage of his website, it says, God in his word has told us what's going to happen before it happens, so that when it begins to happen, non-believers will believe and believers will look up knowing that our redemption draws near. What? Yes. Yes. Everyone sees what's going on in this world, but not all understand. Everyone knows something isn't quite right, that life remains unsettled, that we're not able to trust everything that's going on. We can't trust our eyes to believe what we see. But Christ followers know that we will soon be called home. So with that in mind, what is our mission? What do? We need to start pointing people to the truth. We need to see their confusion and their fear and to tell them about Jesus. We need to invite them to get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior so that they will be going to our promised home in heaven too. Jesus is coming soon. My friends, show someone that they matter so much to you. Invite them to church. You aren't responsible for the response, but maybe, just maybe, they're waiting for that invitation. Maybe that's all they need. Maybe these last 2 years have had them isolated for so long, they just need to be welcomed to hang out with cool people like us. That was supposed to be funny. Never mind. Anyways, as watchmen, we need to sound the alarm. That's our responsibility. So let's sound the alarm. Let's encourage one another because we will be going home soon. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, oh my goodness, what a crazy week. And yet none of it surprises you. You have it all in your hands. You're taking care of everything. We don't have to worry about the world. We have to invest in our relationship with you. And I just pray that you would give us peace, encourage us to spend time with you, refresh us, and help us to be refreshing to others that are just seeking to make sense of a world that no longer makes any sense. I can't wait to come home. May that be our understanding. May that be our stance, so that you know we are eager to be with you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.